chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful words as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. 2 Timothy 3 and 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness. I want you to pray for me because I'm going to preach to you today the curse of disagreement. Lord Jesus, right now, God, I pray your spirit into this house, Lord. God, you're here in a mighty way, Lord Jesus. God, I am relying upon your anointing today, Lord God. God, I believe you've confirmed your word already today, Lord Jesus. And I pray, God, that you would minister in every heart in this place today, God. Let your words spill deep into their soul and their spirit and their mind, Lord God. Help us to get a hold of you, Lord God, like we've never gotten a hold of you before. In the name of Jesus, we praise you. We thank you. Praise God. You may be seated. Feel the power of the Holy Ghost in this place. Amen. He is here. God is wanting to challenge our hearts and our minds to a better way. Amen. I want us to turn to Ephesians 4. We're going to read that word today. It says, I therefore, Paul talking, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, that is it, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to the work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speakings be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. A man of God, while he was preaching, walked up to an upstanding church member and began to mess his hair up. You may say, well, that was very rude of this man of God. This man whose hair was destroyed was a person that everything he did was perfection. Nothing was ever out of place. He was faithful in all that he did. Always crossing his I's and dotting his T's. And unbeknownst to this man, his son was watching every move and decision that his father made. The son was trying to decide if this way of life was worth living. He was trying to get a hold of something, and he was trying to see if this way was the way, the truth, and the life. And when the man of God, their pastor, during the preaching, for no reason, came down from the pulpit and messed his dad's hair up very badly, The dad never tried to fix it. He left it the way it was till church was over. Even all the way home, he never fixed it. Nothing was spoken in the car of what was done. Nothing was spoken at home of why the pastor did this humiliating thing. This event transformed this man's mind, this young man's mind that day. He said from that day forward, he was going to follow God and his father's example. That young man now pastors one of the largest churches in our movement. I ask everyone here in this room today, what's your breaking point? Does this man of God have a say in your life? Could I do something as crazy as that pastor did and survive your wrath? I have given my life to bringing you the best that I can bring. I want a church that is on fire for God. I want apostolic moves of God, Spirit, to operate every time we come together in this house. I am against apathy and complacency in the house of God. I am for your children and your family members progressing in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I believe God wants to use each and every one in this place today. I'm willing to give the means and the tools for them to get what they need to prosper. I have brought prophets of God and evangelists to this church to get on us on the straight and narrow. I seek a multitude of counsel when I deal with your problems. And very rarely do you come to me seeking counsel. I didn't call myself to this church to pastor. God did. I have had several men to confirm that calling. One even this morning. What I do is not to hurt you. It's to help you. When your kids need instruction, when they were doing wrong, if you were doing godly discipline, you caused hurt to them to show them they were wrong. You spanked them. You did whatever it took to get them on the straight and narrow and get them to do what you wanted them to do. You did that because you didn't want them to do those wrong things anymore. Even though it hurt you, even though it grieved you to have to go that way, you wanted what was best for your kids, for their future. You then showed them how to act. You didn't just leave them there crying in their tears. You got down and you loved them and you cared for them and you showed them how to become a better person. Because you follow the ways of God and you want them to be greater. Because God has given them to you to raise and to teach and to know how to live in this present world. I preach solely from the Word of God. I believe that I preach the Word of God. I will even say it, if you feel what I am preaching is wrong, call up men like Ken Bolgren, Bill Roberts, Bishop Stark, and have them assess my words. I sincerely want this church to prosper in the things of the Spirit. And we must truly want that as well and be willing to allow someone to change the way we have always thought. The very definition of insanity is doing the same thing the same way and expecting different results. If you want different things, you have to have a willingness to change. Is change easy? No. Change is not easy. But if it is necessary to get new results, every aspect of our lives demands change to receive different results. Let's start with salvation. It was only when you were willing to see a different way than you were doing, did you get a different result? Many of us, most all of us, walked not in the truth at one point in your life unless you were born into this. But somebody had to come along and show you a new way. Thank God that somebody came to you and was not afraid of you and spoke to you the truth of the Word of God, and it changed your mind, and now you are in the truth. You're in the way and you are in the life. Thank God for that. Every aspect of our life demands change to receive something different. Now you walk in this glorious truth. Let's look at your finances. It's only when you agree to change the way you spend do you get out of debt. Education. When you decide to study, you become wiser. Weight loss. When you change your eating habits, then you become thinner. The list can go on and on and on and on. Every aspect of our life, we must first do something to change. Again, I bring you God's word. It's insanity on your part if you decide to keep doing the things you're doing the same way and expecting different results. 1 Peter 5, beginning of the first 6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. My friend, that humbling of yourself involves a pastor. All of those dignities that were mentioned earlier. Amen. These men are called of God to bring sanity and rightness into your life. Ephesians 4 and 11, it says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Who gave them to you? God did. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The curse comes when you disagree with God's word. Well, you may say you're obedient, but what's your actions say? What's your attitude with one God, with this one God is using to tell you? My friend, we love to quote the scripture in the Bible to those that do not follow the gospel. In Acts and in Galatians 1:8, we love this scripture. We love to put it on people and say, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have preached unto you, let him be accursed. But what about what Hebrews 13 and 17 says? Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your soul as they that must give an account, and they that must may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. It was only when the children of Israel would not follow the word of the Lord from their leaders that God cursed them. Their disobedience to God and their leaders caused them to wander in the desert 40 years till their unbelieving lives died in the wilderness. My friend, when you disagree with the word of God, you bring on yourself a curse of death. When's the last time you allowed a man of God to help you make a life decision? When is the last time you obeyed his word, even when they went against your way? God is calling us to become obedient in all ways. When you fuss with the man of God that is bringing you the word of God, you're not hurting the man of God. When you choose to go your own way and follow your own desire, the curse is on you. You will be the one that wanders in your wilderness of despair. You are the one that rejects God's word, and you will have one that will judge you in the end. John 12 and 48 says, "He that receiveth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." You may fool me and everyone around you that you are under authority, but you will not fool God. God knows. He knows who you are. He knows your heart. You will not fool him on that day. Ephesians 6 and 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." You're not fighting me or anybody else in this church. Your problem is not with us, these human aspects, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm not your enemy, and neither is your spouse. Neither is your friend or your family member. If there is a disagreement, there is a spirit warring against you. There is something in the spirit that is trying to turn your life around. Thank you for choosing the song you chose today. I will not turn back. Something in another realm is trying to get you out of the race. Oh, it looks like your spouse or your friend or your family member is against you, but this word is true. It is not a lie. They're not your enemy. I'm not your enemy. The person next to you is not your enemy. It's the spirit of the darkness of this world that is trying to get you out of this race. So that you'll get a bad attitude, so that you'll get a bad spirit in your life, and you'll miss out on heaven. That's his total goal in this whole wide world, is to change your direction and steal what God has given you, and cause you to lose out with Jesus Christ. That, my friend, is what you're warring against. Get your mind off of the flesh around you. It's a spirit realm that we're living in, and we're fighting every day the spirits of this darkened world that is warring against the church. We're not fighting each other. We're not fighting each other. We're fighting a battle in the spirit. Be vigilant in your mind to be close to God. And don't allow what is trying to take you out of the race to cause you to fall and turn back. I close with this. What is your disagreement? What will you allow to be a curse? Or will you follow the word and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God? The choice to you, my friend, today belongs to you. As we stand and come, Joshua 24 and 15 says, And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't know what you got going on in your relationships, in your world, but I'm here to tell you today, you can make a choice. You can serve the Lord. Amen. Because what you're fighting against is not flesh and blood. What you're going to fight against tomorrow is not flesh and blood. Your boss is not your enemy. Your coworker is not your enemy. Your wife, your daughter, your son, your cousin, your aunt, your uncle, your grandparent, your nobody is your enemy. The Word of God says we fight against spiritual darkness in high places. Choose you this day who you will serve. Will you allow someone to change your direction? And will you allow God to take you places you've never been? God's speaking and God's calling a church for His name. We're living in the last days. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Very soon. Things like never before are happening right now. This word is unfolding before our eyes. It's time to secure our walk with God and say, God, I'm surrendered. I'm going to bow and I'm going to trust you. I'm going to submit and humble myself before the mighty hand of God. There's things you haven't done through the men of God that's come through this place. They've spoken to you, they've talked to you, and they've looked you in the eye and give you words. I commend you to go back and look at those words and say, have I done those things? Because they didn't come here on their own. God called them here. And God brought them through here. Because He has a plan and a practice for this church to go to. He's got a place. He's got a place He wants you in your life. He wants to change the direction of your life. Amen. Hallelujah. But you've got to change. You've got to change what you've been doing, because you've been doing it the same way for your entire life. That's insanity, my friend. Obey the word of the Lord. Change your direction. Change your life. Change your walk. And surrender to God. This altar's open. Amen. Search my heart, O God. Search my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, God. Lord, help me, Lord Jesus, to put my trust fully in you today, God. Oh, that nothing shall hinder me from walking with you, God. Nothing will take me from living for you, God. Lord, I've got to trust you, Lord. I've got to wake up and realize that something's warring against my soul. Something's coming after me in my spirit. God, I've got to put my hope and my trust in you, God. You're my buckler and my shield, Lord God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Help me, Lord, to put on the whole armor of God today, Lord Jesus, to fight against the wiles of the devil. Hallelujah, Jesus. Church, God wants to help you through it all. He wants to guide you. He wants to lead you. But you got to follow His word. Lord, touch us today, Jesus. Us today, Lord. Redeem us, help us, change us. Help us, Lord God, to humble ourselves today, God. Walk to a cross. Nail ourselves on that cross, Lord. Die out to ourselves, this flesh. How we feel, how we are. Walk with you.